Welcome to Mrigashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. This podcast is a tribute to our fantastic fellow professionals, colleagues, and friends. I'm Charu Raizada, and this podcast is brought to you in association with DigiTales. Working in the agriculture farm industry as a communicator, you learn a few things about simplifying your message. Today's producers and growers are scientific about crop yields, better nutrition for livestock, and mechanization. Last week, as the news around Amresh Singh, a farmer from Bihar, caught our attention, we couldn't help but wonder what it takes to communicate with today's farmers and understand a little about what appeals to their risk-taking abilities. Our guest this week on Mrigashira is Bhavna Imran, communication leader at Corteva AgriScience. Bhavna comes with over 2 decades of experience in developing consistent and powerful brand messaging across regional markets, distribution channels, and customer segments. The objective of this episode is not to know about the challenges faced by the sector or to discuss the farm bills or the food security problem, but really, as a communicator, how can we make a difference?
Hi, Bhavna. Hello and welcome to Mrigashira. Thank you for making the time to talk to us. Let me begin by asking you something which I have often wondered. As communicators, we tend to believe that the tried and true ways of communicating with farmers through meetings, field days, consultations, these are still the preferred pathways. How has the communication landscape evolved, or has it even evolved?
Thank you, Charu, for having me on this channel. I used to watch my father, who used to run an advertising agency. And it's interesting because he used to service a big multinational tea brand, for the target segment for which was rural India. And watching him from the sidelines as his team designed some campaigns, it was so phenomenal to look at the channels they used to communicate their messages then. You know, there's a folk art form called Burakata in this part of the country in South India. And this is a dance drama format and performed at village fairs. So typically when they had to communicate anything about the tea brand, they leveraged this particular channel quite heavily. And also, of course, the word of mouth communication and the interactions which happens at this fairs. And I'm talking about not like 100 years ago, this is in early 90s. But from then, I think to now, the landscape has certainly evolved. I would rather say transformed. The farmer audience, I think, can very comfortably access technology, and that has made the difference. Emerging technologies have definitely leapfrogged. And like they say, the adoption of telephone communications in India, the point has moved from 0 point to a completely mobile state. We've totally skipped the landline generation, right? So the move to DSM technology has had some, I think, very good positive repercussions on the rural audiences. Today, the communication formats, channels of all of those have evolved. And the rural and the farming community, I think, has sort of picked up speed in all of this. In our own organization and a lot of other brands I see and respect, most farmers are being communicated through by mobile telephone, not just for reaching out on calls, but leveraging the apps. There's some very interesting apps which talk about smart and precision agriculture, which these brands are able to very successfully leverage. We interact with our farmers on social media like Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp. Of course, there is a little bit of dependency on infrastructure, right? The apps, we have to look at lightweight apps which are more functional on 2G/3G, not very heavy apps, but the interaction levels have been phenomenal. So let me just give you a couple of examples in terms of how the landscape has evolved. Today, as communicators, it's not just about interacting with the, helping us ask the media to relay some of the messages. We are working with various channels to raise awareness and educate the farmers. I mean, be it, like for example, imagine our interaction with the farmers through regional channels and regional media communication to help tell the entire message around how it is becoming critical to use the best agronomy practices so that the output per hectare increases for the farmers. Talk about trends in terms of mechanization. We have done some very interesting conversations with our farmers where we have told them the advantages of using mechanized tools to help them increase their output, to also reduce the labor drudgery. And these kind of messages are not today communicated as messages which are just helping the company. These are things which are communicated to help the industry at large. So going out there and putting forth the messages which are beneficial to the farmers, and also leveraging the channels, you know, be it regional media interaction or talking to them through traditional media or telling these stories through social media, I think that has changed. So I would say in all, the format, the messaging and the channels have evolved drastically.
No, that's really interesting to know. Who would have thought that we've progressed that much and we have seemed to have those stereotypes in our minds about farmers, but that's really not the case. And I really love the story you just told me about your father and how they would communicate in the older days. But I feel that some of those practices could still work in today's day and age. Let me just move to another question. I believe there's a whole community on YouTube, and you know, you have Instagrammers, you have YouTubers who are talking about new practices. They have a good pool of religious followers, and who would have imagined this few years back? What do you think of the role of influencers? Can they help bond with farmers? Can they help introduce new sustainable practices? What could be their role going forward?
See, like I mentioned, with growing social media, people are the farmers, and they're not just doing things in their own traditional manners. They are very keenly looking at learning various methods of how to, you know, make their farm produce better, the yield more, the yield increase, and, you know, basically more output per hectare. And farmers have very, very interestingly started using social media to educate themselves about the tools and techniques. And also remember, I think of late, the entire salience of sustainable agricultural practices has come up, right? Farmers and most of us in our community are trying to understand what these sustainable practices are. They're constantly grappling with what works for them, but also what also positively influences the environment. We are not talking about large farmers and having these large hectares of land. In India, and actually most of APAC, right, the farmlands are very small, what we call the smallholder farmers, I mean. And their average holding is very small. So for them, understanding what is sustainable and what is good in terms of agronomy practices and things like that, they can't just pick and choose from the trends which are happening or read and just reading aloud as the large macro trends. For them, they listen and understand people who are able to tell them and tell them more effectively and empathize with them. And hence, I think that is where the social media influencers, your YouTube influencers come into play, right? These are the guys who actually understand the pain and gain, as they say. So their credibility with the farmers is very high. Just like sustainable practices around water, be it crop protection, understanding how better agronomy practices can be used, what are the profits, what are the risks, all of this, the YouTube influencers are able to share their own story, are able to do show and tell, and hence the farmers are able to understand and empathize better. So for us, I think this is a community we need to be engaged with. Also, what happens is, see, the farmers want to see the benefits, but they are still the traditional kind who want to go by the hearsay. So the YouTube influencers are providing a great balance of the friendly neighborhood trust builder, at the same time as is somebody who is able to show the brushstroke big picture of sustainability and climate changes and how their own what is their role to influence all of these positive. So I think those are the people to look out for and watch out for.
Oh God, that makes sense. You know, there have been a lot of misconceptions and people have kind of, you know, what you call the cancel culture in agriculture. It's kind of becoming very real. It's painful. It's corrosive to the agriculture industry. As a PR professional, what should we do to minimize impact on reputations and safeguard farmers' livelihoods?
The problem with cancel culture is there's no reason or rhyme as to why it happens. What is the criteria for cancellation? Typically, this happens and the target is a moving target, right? So I think it is definitely more painful for some industries than the others. But I think all of us as PR professionals are having to worry about this and learning how to actually build on, you know, work on this and ensure that we are we are effectively communicating as against the different things which are happening around. I would say, especially in industry like agriculture. So today what happens is food has suddenly become an intimate part of everybody's life. The conversations, the rising conversations, understanding and tapping into passions, very energized conversations about what is happening from the entire, the value chain, what is happening, the farm, the fork, intelligent eating, being responsible eating, all of that is happening. So definitely conversations around this will happen, and there will be folks who are, trying to do some things against, talk about a certain trend or a certain message. I think as communicator, and as something this is, I firmly believe in practice, and I believe a lot of our peers do, is keeping the conversation open. I think anytime we shut the door on any conversation and dialogue, that is where the problem rises. Agriculture industry, for I think any industry for the for that matter, right? I think the issue of this cancel culture, as the phrase may be used, can be definitely mitigated by smooth and more open information flow.
Right.
Keeping the communication channels open between the brand and the customers, and keep it very transparent. See, we can barely predict what happens between 4 or 5 hours from now. I mean, not just forget about, let alone a week or a month or whatever. But that doesn't justify us to do any knee-jerk reactions. It is important that all our content is very closely knitted. And if companies are able to be guiding and communicators are able to use purpose-driven communication, I think we can navigate through this. We need to build that trust, and the trust can be only built by having a fine balance between understanding what the concerns are, ensuring that we are able to build the trust by both telling the big picture, but also addressing the concerns in a more open and a transparent way.
No, I agree with you, because the flip side of a lot of information floating around and people talking about food, people are showing a lot of interest, it leads to a lot of miscommunication and misperception at that time. And I think as communicators, the more we communicate, the more we are able to, I would use the word, drum the same message again and again. And it kind of then, becomes the actual larger narrative in the right way and leads to trust. And just to wrap up, I'm going to ask you, the best way to predict the future is to create it. And what does that mean to you in the context of the agriculture industry?
I wouldn't know if this is absolutely new, but two things: responsible communication and proactive communication. See, of late, like I mentioned, I think the engagement in the industry has been a lot more. I mean, not just people who are directly related to the farm enterprise, like farmers and retailers and ag companies, but everybody wants to talk about food. There's a lot of knowledge and a lot of interest which is there in the system. So if we are able to leverage this democratization of conversation in a much more efficient manner, and we as communicators are able to present messages that are educating, that are helping raise awareness, that are talking about trends like sustainability, agronomy practices, and things like that, it is important. I mean, I think we are able to set the trends, but also are able to draw a great picture between, I think it's important. The farmers and the companies will mutually benefit. Like Peter Drucker says, right, the most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said. So I think as great communicators, it may sound cliched, but we need to tell that story. Land the messages effectively so that the audience hears the intent and also the larger purpose and ultimately the brand messages, and help build the trust.
Well said, Bhavna. Some things never change. That's from us for this week. Send us your suggestions and feedback. Till then, keep listening to Megashira, podcast for communication folks. Adios for now.